The best new music.
Good nights with Bridget on Triple J.
It's so great that we can still connect amongst all this. I've wanted to have you on the show for a little while since I first heard Eugene. So, it's going to be really cool. Everyone gets to know you a bit better over here.
Amazing. Yeah, I'm excited. I've actually seen like a lot more Australian people reaching out to me, and like this band called Cub Sport followed me recently. I was a big fan of, and I think they may have heard me through the radio. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's been amazing. Yeah.
Have you listened to Cub Sport's music?
Yeah, I have. I'm a big fan. Yeah, I've been a fan for a little while, so that was a nice moment. Yeah.
Oh, this is exciting. We're going to have to tee something up here. But yeah, let's get to know you, Arlo, because you are known as a musician and a poet as well. I'm curious to know, I guess, what you got into first. Did songwriting lead into poetry, or was it the other way around?
It was kind of poetry first. So when I was very young, I do a lot of kind of story writing, and then that morphed into poetry. And then I'm not really sure how, but probably when I was around 13 or 14, that turned into songwriting, and I kind of taught myself how to make beats and play guitar and stuff. And then it kind of went from there.
Cool. What I find interesting as well is I've read a few interviews, and people have been bringing up the term emo 2.0, and I feel like it's a really interesting concept. I mean, when you look at artists like yourself, and you know, within the, I guess, that bedroom pop realm, when you're looking at Clairo and Bebe Doobie and whatnot, is this a thing? Is emo 2.0 a thing that you're feeling, or did you listen to emo stuff? Were you an emo?
Well, I mean, I listen, like when I was younger, I definitely did have my kind of Good Charlotte, My Chemical Romance phase. But I do think like a lot of music nowadays, you know, is tapping into emotions and is kind of being vulnerable and stuff. And I think that's dope. I mean, yeah, I'm into it.
Yeah, I think what I like with this, you know, new generation of artists coming through, it kind of seems like there's more willingness to wear your heart on your sleeve and be more open about the struggles that young people face.
Exactly. And like a lot of people, like I've had people come up to me, older fans maybe, being like, you know, I wish that I'd had music like yours when I was growing up, because it wasn't really as much of a thing to be so open and vulnerable and kind of sensitive in your music. I'll talk to younger kids who are like, you know, I haven't really felt understood up till now, and then I'll talk to like maybe older people. Like there are people at my shows who are like 70.
I love
and they'll
that.
Be like, yeah, I love it so much. Like there's this amazing picture of one of my shows where there's like a dad like holding up his little like 4-year-old kid so she can like see me on stage. And then there's like this like really old couple next to them, and then this really punky couple next to them who are like in their teens. And I feel like that kind of widespread kind of connection is what I really strive for, just to be able to like talk to other human beings regardless of where they're from, and yeah, for everyone to find something in my music.
Yeah, it's really nice. It's really sincere. Well, let's have a listen to Eugene right now, which is the song that we've just been really loving at the moment. Is there anything you want us to know about Eugene before you press play?
I guess that it was like recorded in the living room of an Airbnb, and I was eating pizza. I remember I was eating pizza as I was recording the vocals. And I remember like it came from like the text from one of my friends kind of explaining like how she had a massive crush on like one of our mutuals. So it came from like a really personal place. I'll stop rambling. Eugene, take it away.
Directed the video for this, right? The brother team up, yeah?
Yeah, exactly. So it was him and his brother Ryan. And yeah, they took a lot of inspiration from like, you know, like Wes Anderson movies, and also the idea of just having a video that was filmed from kind of bird's eye view seemed to us quite unique. Like we hadn't really seen it that much before. And, you know, his show was the first ever show that I went to like in my life. I think I was like 15 or something. So it was such a nice full circle moment to be able to work with him on that.
How did this even come about? Like, did you approach him?
Well, we met at Latitude, which is a festival in the UK. And I remember I was playing my show, and then I just kind of looked down, and then he was just like there staring up at me, and I was just like, exactly. And then we just started kind of talking, and you know, someone must have sent him the song, and he said he really connected to it, and that him and Ryan wanted to to do something for it, which is really amazing.
That is so special. And not the only cool connection you have. I mean, lately you've just been all over. You did a really cool quarantine collab with Wavy Davy from Glass Animals.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, hell yeah.
So good covering Drake. And it was amazing to hear him introduce you as his favourite new singer. Like, how does that feel? Mm.
Yeah, it feels amazing. It's really interesting, actually, because all of these artists are people that I was really, really inspired by when I was kind of starting off making music. I remember, like, covering one of Glass Animals' tunes, like, the year that How to Be a Human Being album came out, in this, like, kind of dingy, like, youth club thing. And then now I'm like, chatting to him on the phone and we're mates and stuff. It's really lovely to have that happen.
Is it hard to keep your cool and be, like, you know, really chill about it?
I mean, oddly enough, I thought I'd be the kind of person who would, like, die on impact, like, anytime I spoke to someone that I looked up to. I actually managed to kind of keep my chill, and then afterwards I'll kind of, like, you know, have a little moment, but, yeah.
Well, it came together so well, and I've been dying to nag you properly about this next one, which happened. I mean, you shared a post towards the end of Feb, and I like went straight into your DM and was like, this is cool. You need to tell us about being in the studio with Flume.
Yeah, that was very, very cool. Yeah, I can't speak on it too much at the moment, but it was because we're on the same label on Transgressive, and it was very surreal to me because, again, big, big fan, and I kind of, like, pulled up to the studio and I kind of, like, lost my mind a bit, but it was very fun. It was very sweet, sweet guy. And yeah, we were just working on Teams, and it was very surreal and fun and cool.
I love that you have to be a bit tight-lipped, because I feel like that's always a promising thing. Well, I'm going to interpret it as that way anyway. And finally, you dropped a new single just yesterday. It's super fresh. It's Black Dog. Can you tell us a bit more about this single, why you wanted it to be the next release, what it means to you, etc.?
Yeah, so I think this song was a really personal one for me. You know, I wrote it about one of my really close friends who's always struggled quite a lot with their mental health. And I just felt like it was important to be candid about that kind of struggle and to make people who are going through that feel less alone, because that's what I always try and do with my music. And yeah, it's just a reminder to kind of check up on your friends and how important taking care of your mind is. And yeah, it's a really special one to me.
This is Good Nights with Bridget Hustwaite on Triple J.